To the Clean and Filthy Podcast with your host, Matthew M.
Hello and welcome to the Clean and Filthy Podcast, where we are clean and serene with a filthy mind in between. I am your host, Matthew M., and I am an addict in recovery. Welcome back, everybody. Very excited for episode number 9 of the Clean and Filthy Podcast. Before we go any further, have to make sure to give a huge thank you to our episode sponsor, which is Etc. by Emily. If you're looking for a job or if you're needing any kind of event staffing or party planning, please reach out to her. All the information is in the contact below. Also, huge thank you to everybody. We've got a bunch of new listeners. I've been trying to make sure we get our podcast out there on Twitter. So if you're new and listening, welcome. Hope you hear something you like. And if you do, please make sure to go ahead and forward this along to anybody and everybody. We're really trying to get our, you know, brand established, get our name out there, and really try to help as many people as we can. Also, have to give a huge thank you to our VIP supporters, And these are people who support this podcast on Patreon. And they are Stephanie, Char, Clint, and Alex. You guys are one of the main reasons that we're able to continue investing into this product and get new things that are, you know, able to make our production value even better. So if you're interested in helping support this channel and you want to be a VIP supporter, please head over to Patreon. You can get to that link by going to the website of www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. And then in the upper right corner next to all the other social media links, there is a link for Patreon. And for every person who is a supporter, you will get one of these awesome Clean and Filthy Podcast stickers. So again, thank you to all of our VIP supporters. Also have to give a huge thank you to Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland, and Mad Decent Records for allowing us to use the incredible song Anything as the theme music for this podcast. All the download information is below, so please go ahead, check that out, stream it, download it, vibe with it, you know, all that. So I absolutely love that song. No matter how many times I listen to it, I still just keep loving it. So shout out for that song. Again, thank you everybody for the downloads. Our numbers have been growing. Our download locations have been growing. We're getting downloads from places that I don't know how people in these places are hearing it, but they are. And then they keep coming back. So apparently they're hearing something that they like. And I love that so much. It brings me so much joy to be able to help carry a message and, you know, people to be getting something out of it. So if you're new, welcome. We are a 12-step recovery podcast. We do weekly episodes every single Tuesday at 5 p.m. Arizona time. We are live on YouTube. We do the show live. So if you are listening on a podcast directory and you want to take part in the live stream, head on over to youtube.com and check us out there. We get a group of people in the chat. It's a lot of fun. And it's, you know, it's just kind of an interactive type of vibe. If you are watching on YouTube right now and you are not subscribed to the channel, please go ahead and subscribe right below this video. Like the video, maybe throw us a comment, but definitely please subscribe if you could. It really helps out us grow. So we appreciate that. And if you are watching on YouTube and you also want to help us, you know, grow some more, head on over to wherever you consume podcasts and search for the Clean and Filthy Podcast. Throw us a download, follow us, like us, all that on all the socials. It really, really helps us. So I really, really appreciate that. So before we get into our first segment, we want to talk about what we are and what we are not before going any further. Again, my name is Matthew M. I am an addict in recovery, and this is the Clean and Filthy Podcast. As I said, we are a recovery-based podcast. We discuss the 12 steps of recovery, but we are not affiliated with any specific fellowship. I'm not speaking from a point of authority on any one fellowship. I'm not speaking what fellowship is better than the other or not. That's not what we're doing here. I want to make sure to stay in line with the traditions. So I'm, you know, this is definitely radio or film or media. So I want to make sure that I do not, you know, I protect anonymity within that. So I'm not speaking from a place of authority on any type of fellowship, treatment center, sober living, recovery residence. Not going to be talking about my home group, any of that. This is just to get more information about recovery and discuss what us addicts go through on a day-to-day basis and how we change our lives. But if you have specific questions about getting to meetings or being of service or, you know, going to my home group or something like that, please reach out to me directly and I would be more than happy to get you that information. You can contact me at Matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com or on any social media, and I would be more than happy to get that information to you. But we will not be discussing that directly on air here. So just so everybody knows what we are and what we are not. We do not replace going to a meeting. This podcast should not replace talking to your sponsor or anything like that. But this is just a great opportunity for people who might have questions about recovery, questions about addiction, questions about 12-step fellowship. This is a great opportunity for us to discuss those things. So if you're new, check us out. If you're not an addict, check us out. If you are an addict, check us out. You might hear something that you like because at the end of the day, every single person on this planet has been affected by addiction in some way. And we're just here to try and, you know, discuss that recovery is possible. So welcome. I'm glad everybody's here. And let's get into a great episode. You know, like I said, it's week episode 9. So we're going to be talking about the 9th step. We got my favorite moment of the week. We're going to be answering some more questions. So it should be a lot of fun. So let's get into our very first segment called Recovery and Development.
Let's head to the lab for some R&D. Recovery and Development.
That's right. We are here for our first segment of the week called R&D. Recovery and Development. We are in the lab. We're ready to do some experiments. We're ready to learn some things. And this is the segment that we do that. This segment each week, we discuss either a different step, tradition, concept, or spiritual principle from the 12-step recovery model and give a little bit more information about it. You know, discuss the things that the spiritual principles within the step, discuss how we apply them in our lives. And also the fear or the worry that we might experience while working them. Now, again, if you're not an addict, that's fine. You still really might hear something that you like, that you enjoy. Because the beautiful thing, as I always say, about recovery is that it's not about the drugs. It's not about the substance that I put in my body. It's about having a pathway to living a better life. And that's what the steps do. That's what the traditions do. That's what the concepts do. So, you know, stick around. You might be like, oh, I'm not an addict, but hey, you might hear something that works for you that helps, you know, grow in your own life. So stick around. Again, we are on step 9 this week, episode 9, step 9. Funny how that works. If you are not familiar with the previous steps, especially step 8, I suggest heading back to the 8th episode of the Clean and Filthy podcast, because as we discussed last week, step 8 and 9 really work hand in hand, very much like 4 and 5, very much like 6 and 7. 8 and 9 directly are related to each other. So what does step 9 say? Step 9 says, we may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Now, the funny thing is the very first line in the literature after that is read, the very first line says, this step should not be avoided. If we do, we are reserving a place in our program for relapse. Now, this is a scary step. I'm going to admit it. This is a step that has a lot of fear around it. This is a step that takes a lot of willingness, a lot of courage, you know, a lot of faith, a lot of acceptance, forgiveness, humility, patience, and love. You know, this is a step that really requires us to have worked the previous steps with a sponsor up to this point so that we can have developed all of these spiritual principles within ourselves, within our recovery. You know, if we haven't worked a 7th step and haven't gotten that humility, it's going to be a lot more difficult to humbly go into these amends processes and actually make them. You know, and for sure, if we haven't worked a second and third step, we haven't gotten a connection to a higher power, we aren't going to be able to rely on that necessary faith that we have to walk into an amends and not be terrified, not be scared shitless, because knowing that it's going to be okay because we have the strength of our higher power. And we're going to get into to the actual process of, you know, what a direct amends is, what an indirect amends is, what a living amends is, how we make them, and all that. But I want to kind of start from the most important thing within this step, at least for me personally, is the fact that timing is essential. Because for somebody like me, you know, I had a lot of people on my list, or at least I had a lot of amends that I felt I needed to make, where I, as soon as I got clean, I was like, yo, I gotta go talk to them. I gotta go do this. And I got clean in Las Vegas. And one of my best friends lives in Las Vegas. And I felt, you know, maybe I didn't know him a direct amends, but I felt I needed to go, you know, talk to him and let him know what was going on in my life and let him know that I'm good. Cause you know, I've got 60 days clean. So everything's great. And kind of fun, you know, kind of humorously, he actually wasn't home. I drove down there from sober living and knocked on the door cause I wanted to go and do this. And then I talked to my sponsor afterwards, my sponsor at that time, and he said, you know, so it sounds to me like you were doing an amends. And in my mind, I wasn't even really thinking it was an amends. I was just like, I got to go and, you know, just talk to this person and let him know I'm good. But timing is essential. The steps are in line and in order for a reason. You know, we don't just work our eighth step and then just immediately go out with a checklist like, okay, cool, yep, done, like it's a shopping list or something. We don't just run through. This step takes time, preparation, patience, courage, commitment. It's not an immediate like, oh, yep, we're good, cool, let's go, let's just go. No, that's not how it works. That's not how this step works. So again, we put together that list. And then we discuss that list with our sponsor. Having a sponsor for any step is obviously very important. But having a sponsor in this step is, it's impossible to work this step without a sponsor. In my opinion, it's impossible to work any step without a sponsor. That is the point of a sponsor, which we're going to talk about later. But this step, we rely on the guidance of a sponsor so much when we go over that list. And we start figuring out and planning and having an idea of how we're going to do our amends. So vital is an understatement of how much, you know, how important it is to have a sponsor and how much we rely on a sponsor, especially within this step. So it says direct amends. What is a direct amends? And isn't it just, you know, just apologizing for the shit you did? No. As my son has been saying lately, it is not just saying, I'm sorry. Because as addicts, when we're in our active addiction, I'm sorry are some of the most constant words that we say. But we never really mean them. We might think we mean them, but being so caught in the grip of active addiction, it's almost impossible to truly empathize with that pain that we've caused because we're so self-centered, we're so obsessed, we're so compulsive about getting the next one that we can say we're sorry and maybe think that we actually mean it, but not have the ability to actually mean it. So we can't just say I'm sorry, especially for most addicts. We've said it so many times, nobody's going to believe it. Nobody's going to believe that I'm sorry. Nobody's going to believe the words. Words are just words, especially when we've abused those words for so long. Until we actually put action behind the words, they don't carry much weight. You know, they really don't. Talking it is one thing, but when we can actually walk it like I talk it. Hey, walk it like I talk it. Song's trash, but that falls in right here. When we can actually walk it and we can make that change, then our words actually start to carry weight again. So it's not just, you know, sending out a mass text like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. Direct amends wherever possible is what it says. And that means face to face. That doesn't mean a phone call. That doesn't mean a text message. That means having the courage to sit across from someone that we have done harm to and take responsibility for our actions. Again, that responsibility that we've been taking in our fourth step, in our fifth step, looking at the patterns of our character defects and how those factor in our sixth and seventh step. This allows us to take responsibility for the harm that we have done. And actually looking at not just the harm we caused, but how we caused the harm. Because a lot of times, you know, there are things where maybe we didn't even realize. We didn't realize how deep it went. We didn't understand how deep the pain was that we caused. Again, because we're so selfish and we're so self-centered, for myself personally, so often without even realizing it. Without it being a conscious thought of like, yep, I'm selfish, I'm an asshole. It's the basic concept for an addict is to be selfish, to be self-centered, to not think about other people's wants, desires, feelings, emotions. And that's what so many of us do. So actually sitting down with that person and making a direct amends and admitting your responsibility and admitting the actions that you took and admitting the behaviors that you did. And then letting that person speak their truth. You know, an amends process isn't just going, reading a pre-decided statement of what I'm going to do. Okay, done. We're good. Cool. Bye. That's not how it works. This is an intimate process. This is an intimate process with someone that we have caused harm to someone that we have carried around a feeling of maybe shame or guilt or sadness. And for once in our lives, we're able to take responsibility for it. We're able to take responsibility for it and to directly do something to make it better. But again, it's not just words. It's not just words. It is actually implementing spiritual principles that we have been accumulating through working these steps so that we don't repeat the action. Because if we make an amends and then go and do the same action again, then we haven't learned. We haven't changed. It's just words. We're just talking it. We're not walking it. Walk it like I talk it. Hey, walk it like I talk it. All right. That'll hopefully be the last time I do that this segment. Now I'm going to be singing that stupid-ass Migos song all damn day. Anyway, I digress. You know, so that's how we go through our list. We put together that list, and then we put together, you know, how we're going to be going over each one of these with our sponsor. Another thing that always comes up for most addicts is there's going to be some element of financial amends. Because being a drug addict is expensive. It's a very expensive thing. And most of the time, for a lot of us, especially towards the end, we ain't making the money that we, you know, maybe started making. You know, when our addiction was first taking off. I know that was my story. You know, I went from having a good job that paid me with 401k and benefits to absolutely no job. And my job became full-time friend of Walmart, or maybe enemy of Walmart. I don't know. Like enemy of the state, but enemy of Walmart. That was pretty much my job. So guess what? We're going to owe a lot of financial amends for a lot of us. If you don't, congratulations. But having an element even a separate list for the financial amends can be important, because those are ones that often take a lot longer to do. It takes a lot longer to do within a lot of, you know, those direct financial amends. So there's three common concepts to often look at when we're doing our amends. And those are resolution, restoration, and restitution. And I'm going to give a little bit of what the literature says about each one of those. So it says resolution implies that to find an answer to a problem, we must lay to rest what was previously plaguing or disturbing us in some way. All right. That makes pretty easy sense. Restoration says means to bring back to its former state something that has been damaged. All right. And restitution, it says, is as the act of returning something material or more abstract to its rightful owner. And with this one, you know, obviously the financial amends element of it is the first thing that pops out. You know, anybody who's been around any kind of legal anything knows the term restitution. But it's more than just a financial thing. You know, sometimes when we harm somebody, we've taken their dignity. We've taken their love for granted. We've abused their love. We've taken something from them. And within that restitution, we're able to give it back. Maybe not to the point that it was, but we're able to attempt to give that we have taken back. Now, one of the things that people always think about is that, you know, okay, so I got to do all my amends before I can go on to my next step, right? No, because there's no clear timetable for the ninth step. A lot of these things are honestly things that we're going to be making amends for the rest of our lives by changing how we act, by changing the way that we, you know, perceive certain situations, by realizing that, you know, our first way of thinking might not be correct, by actually internalizing the spiritual principles that we've been accumulating and putting them into our lives. This is a lifelong process. It's not a, you know, like I said, grocery list, checklist, boom, 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 I'm done. Nope. Mm-mm. That's not how it goes. Because there will be people that, again, like I've talked about before, we're not perfect. We are human. We will make mistakes. We will harm people. We will harm people, and we will need to make amends for that. So there's no clear time frame. You know, like I said, some of them are continuous throughout our recovery. We truly will spend the rest of our lives trying to change to not cause harm again. I had a situation with this that occurred early on in my recovery. We were hanging out after a meeting, and unbeknownst to I had no previous knowledge of it, but, you know, just joking around, whatever, I scared an individual. Just jumped out. Ah! I scared the person, right? I had no idea that she had trauma associated with that action, with me doing that. And the previous me would have just been like, whatever, you know, that's not a big deal. Like, you know, deal with it on your own. But that's not spiritual. Because even if my intention wasn't to cause harm, I caused harm in that moment. I led to somebody sitting in the middle of a restaurant crying because of something I did. So I apologized. Obviously, I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. But again, it's not just saying I'm sorry. What I did was make sure that I never did that again. Because that is the spiritual solution within that example. That is what we do. We don't just say the words. We actually change the action. Because I don't want to harm somebody. Even though I had no idea, I still felt bad. I still felt bad that in that moment I had caused harm. So we do whatever we can to change in that situation. And one of the things within the ninth step is that the point of it is that we are just trying to clean our side of the street. You'll hear that a lot in recovery. You know, keep your side of the street clean. Worry about your side of the street. And that's what we're doing here. We are doing this not for the other person. We're not doing this to like try and get back in the good graces of somebody, or try to get back into our you know, grandmother's will, or trying to make somebody feel something better. We're doing this for ourselves. We're doing this so that we can break free of the shame and the guilt and the pain that we have been carrying around because of the harm we caused. So obviously, it's a beautiful byproduct when we can help repair those type of things, but that isn't why we do this. And that's a very important thing to realize, because we have to be very prepared by working with our sponsor prior to making amends, by relying on our higher power prior to making amends. For whatever response we have, we cannot go into the amends process with preconceived notions or expectations of how something's going to go. One of the most important things for me personally in my story was I made sure to just say a prayer beforehand and remember that whatever happens, good or bad, from this amends process, it's going to be okay. Whatever the person's response is, good or bad, it's going to be okay. Because I'm doing the best I can with my part. I'm cleaning up my side of the street. And if that leads to everything being great on their side of the street, cool. But that's not the point of it. We are doing this to help clean up our side of the street. And again, sponsor, very helpful, can help work through some very difficult or painful amends and have an idea. You know, I've seen some sponsors who literally will, they'll write out kind of bullet points with you and you'll lay a game plan of how it's going to go and you'll have an idea of how it's going to go. But to quote Mike Tyson, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And that is the truth when it comes to amends. Because you can have the best laid out plan and think it's going to go amazingly, even if you aren't, you know, holding expectations, but thinking it's going to go really well, and it can go left like that, snap.
That part.
And that is okay. Again, why we need to have faith in our higher power, why we need to have trust in the program, that is okay. Because I know for me personally, I had a couple people on my list. And I had a couple I didn't think were going to go that well that went amazingly well. And I had one that I thought was going to go great. And it didn't. And that's okay. I felt some feelings afterwards. You know, I really was in my mind. It was I thought it was going to go so well. I had these expectations that this is going to be cool. You know, everything's going to be good. We're going to go back to being friends. He's going to be engaged. We're going to talk afterwards. I'm going to do my amends and we're going to hang out. We're going to bullshit about poker like we used to do. And that didn't happen. Instead, it was about 7 words were said in response to what I was saying. And I haven't heard from him since. And that's okay. Because all we can do is just do our absolute best giving that amends. It's not up to us if the person's going to accept it. It's not up to us if they're going to just open arms, everything's going to be great. All that we can do is just make that amends. Everything else is out of our control. And that leads to another element of it. You know, if we make that amends and we make a genuine, honest amends to somebody and it's not reciprocated, it's not, you know, accepted, we did our part. We did our part to the best of our ability. That doesn't mean that, you know, that we need to keep trying and trying and beat that person down with amends after amends after amends. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Once we have done a genuine, true amends, then we officially have kind of detached from it. You know, and hopefully it's well accepted. And if it's not, that's okay. Because our responsibility ends once we have done a genuine, honest, direct amends. And it's interesting because, you know, with the list of people that I had, it was difficult for me with some of them because I had a lot of people from my past who I had, you know, kind of robbed their friendship. I had essentially just gone radio silent for multiple years for people who really cared about me, for people that I wasn't thinking that I caused harm to. But by doing an amends to them, was able to refund that harm in a way, was able to acknowledge their feelings and state that that was not my intention. But while it was not my intention, I accept responsibility for my actions. What can I do to help? And that's something that we have to do. We have to ask what it is that we can do to help out the situation. I was talking with another addict before, and her sponsor doesn't recommend that, because what if the person says, you know, I want you to go jump off a bridge to make it better? You know, that's obviously a very extreme example. But I feel it's incredibly important to ask that person what can be done in some way, shape, or form to make the situation at least more right. Because it gives the person an opportunity to speak their truth more and speak their feelings more. And maybe more things will come up that I didn't even realize. Maybe more harm comes up that I didn't even realize. And I will say, you know, the vast majority of the amends that I have done up to this point have been positive. Some have been tearful. Some have been, man, no big deal. You're good. Some have been cool and never talk to them again. And that's okay, because no matter what comes up, I'm okay. I'm okay being able to let that go. And I did my part honestly and as genuinely as I could. So one thing we also have to talk about, and we mentioned it last week when we were talking about building that list, is what about making amends to people who owe you amends as well? And this is something I still struggle with. I can completely admit this. I can still justify in my mind, with over 3 years clean, reasons why that person doesn't deserve an amends. And that's not spiritual. It says profusely in the literature that we have to separate what was done to us from what we did. I have to take responsibility for what I did. Period. Period. There's no continuation. There's no, yeah, but, or what if, no. That's where it ends. I have to take responsibility for my part. Whatever happens from there is not on me. And that's a weird thing for me, especially early on. I blatantly admit that. I was sitting in a meeting with, like, you know, 5.5, 6 months. And the topic was the ninth step. And I was like, man, I can't wait till this person gets to this step so they can give me an amends. And that was just ego. That was control. That was me taking somebody else's inventory because I still felt some kind of way and I still felt some kind of feelings, whatever. But that's not spiritual. The spiritual part is that we take responsibility for our part. That's it. And, you know, I had a couple people on my list that are like that. And those have been the ones I've struggled with the most. And with that being said, I am committed. I'm putting it on air here. I am committed that I'm going to take care of two of those amends. I finally have the willingness to do them and take responsibility for my actions. And I'm using all you guys to hold me accountable. So just putting it out there. I need y'all to keep me accountable on that. So that's what we're doing with that. So what about the part where it says, except when to do so would injure them or others? Now, this is where your sponsor can be very, very helpful. Because for some of us, we might have things on our amends list that could land us in jail. That could, you know, potentially change our way of living completely. So those are things that case-by-case basis we need to look at. Or maybe not just with our sponsor. Maybe talk to an attorney. Maybe talk to a doctor. Maybe to whatever the harm that was caused relates to. That's where we go. That's where we direct our energy and ask for help. Humility, asking for help. That humility is so constant through the steps, and especially after the seventh step. Because this step here in the ninth, we have to be living in an element of humility with this, and asking for help and saying, I don't know. Help me. I really need to get a button of that. Just help me in a Kevin Hart voice. That's probably going to be on here at some point. You know, that is what we do, but we have to look at, you know, certain things. Like, what about for somebody who maybe doesn't know that we caused them harm? You know, that could be considered injuring that person. And those are the things that we discuss with our sponsor. You know, it says in the literature, we want to be free of guilt, but not at someone else's expense. You know, asking ourselves, like, what good purpose will be served by sharing this information? What good purpose will be served by that? And if it's not going to be something that furthers, you know, their life, doesn't further your growth, could actually cause harm to them, then we don't do them. But again, that's a case-by-case basis that we discuss with our sponsors. Very, very much so. Because we don't want to do something that could be harming somebody. Even if we want to relieve ourselves of that guilt, if we're doing it at the expense of somebody else, then that in itself is unspiritual. And we don't want to do that. And that's where elements of indirect amends will come up, or living amends will come up. When we can't do a direct sit down with that person, make amends, that's one of the things that we do. We find other ways. We can be as creative as we can by discussing with our sponsor, by having faith in our higher power. We can develop ways to make amends when we can't do a direct amends. And then there's other elements. What about if somebody we physically can't do? What if somebody's died? Again, it says in our literature, the ways we might deal with such a situation are only limited by our imagination and level of willingness. You know, sometimes the only amends we can make is by simply staying clean. And that in itself is a beautiful amends to others, to society, to ourselves. But sometimes in certain situations, that's all we can do. You know, there are people on my list that I tried to reach out to, and I, you know, got in contact with somebody to get in contact with somebody. And the response I got back was, she doesn't want to talk to you. And that's okay. That's okay, because that's her process. And, you know, technically, she's still on my list, because at some point I would like to make an amends for that. But in the current situation with where things were, that's just where it was. Well, I said where it was too many times there. But that's life on life's terms right there. Being able to accept that person was not ready for this process. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, another thing that we can do is looking at making contributions to society. Sometimes the only amends we can make is by staying clean and contributing to society. One of the things for me personally, you know, I had a lot of names on, would have been, had a lot of names on my list of people that I sold drugs to in the past, people I'd bought drugs from, people I, you know, have had some element of drug activity with. And it's funny, I want to just mention something, because something just popped up in my head. The ego character defect just popped up and said, you know, you should clarify that you've never, you know, like sold these kind of drugs. Nah. Fuck all that, because that's my ego trying to make me feel better. I'm admitting the fact right now that there are people that I sold drugs to, period. And to make an amends to those people, who some of them are still in active addiction, isn't a thing. So how do I make a living amends? By being so focused on my recovery, by trying to help as many people as I can within recovery. How do I make amends to stores, you know? By buying things from those stores, the ones that I'm legally allowed to go into. By doing things to make up for the things I did. By making a donation. If I stole, you know, from a company, making a donation to that company. If I took from a store, buying at that store. It's finding the spiritual alternative to the harm that we caused, and then implementing that in our daily lives. Implementing that to be able to help others. So for me, I think that's part of the reason why I'm so, you know, excited and happy about being in recovery, is because it gives me a chance to help. Because there are people on my list that I'm never going to make a direct amends to. I'm never going to make a direct amends to the dude that wanted me dead. To the dude who had guns pointed at my head and the living shit beat out of me after I kicked in his front door with an axe. I'm never going to make a direct amends to him, because I talked with my sponsor about it. He's like, bro, no, that's a no-no. That ain't happening. That, not happening. Okay. You know, how do I make a direct amends to Walmart? I don't. But I have to take responsibility for my part in it, and I have to find ways to clear the harm that I caused. How do I make an amends to Toys R Us? I feel some shame and guilt that they are out of business, period. And I was not helpful to their cause. How do I make an amends for that? I don't know. But those are those type of things that I can't make a direct amends for, but I can make a living amends. I can do better by helping society. I could do better by not causing chaos in society, by not being another person that they have to run through Fourth Avenue jail, by not being another person that's out committing crimes or out just making the world a less positive place. And that's a beautiful thing. And one of the things I want to touch on before we close this out, and it's the same thing we talked about last week, is so often, even when we say that the only person we were harming was ourselves, even though by doing some work on the steps, we find out that's not true. So often we forget to put ourselves on that amends list. So often. I can admit that. I put myself the very last. After like businesses, after people from like childhood that really I didn't even owe an amends to, I put myself last on the list. And my sponsor at the time pointed that out. He's like, bro, you know, you look at the amount of pain and damage that you did to yourself. You deserve to be on that list. You deserve to make a conscious effort at an amends to yourself. So how do you do that? He suggested, make sure that once a year you do something based on your financial situation that is for you. Whether that's, you know, if you're a multimillionaire, maybe that's going spending 50 grand on a trip to Bora Bora. If you're broke as fuck, maybe that's just taking a day and just relaxing. Maybe it's buying a new pair of shoes. Maybe it's going and getting a tattoo. Maybe it's anything, but not just something that you do in passing, something that you make a conscious effort and say, this is an amends to myself. Because we have so much to be grateful for. We have so much to be appreciative for. And sometimes we kind of forget about it. You know, sometimes we forget about ourselves, but that element and making sure we're on the list helps us grow, helps us feel good about ourselves. And it's funny because as scary as the ninth step is, as scary as it is, as much fear and, you know, just honestly terror for some of my amends, once we actually make them, it's such a freeing feeling. Partly, and I'll admit this, because like I said, most of my amends went well. So most of my amends ended with happiness and hugs and yeah, bro, we're good. And that was a great feeling because it felt, you know, cool. Everything's good. Yay. But even on the ones that didn't go well, it still was a feeling of growth and still was a feeling of kind of a self-esteem boost because I'm doing my best. Even if it doesn't go how I want it to go, I'm doing my best. And for an addict like me, doing my best is a weird concept. Because for so many years, there was never best of anything. You know, there never was. And by doing that, it allows us to, again, see ourselves in a more true perspective. Getting back to that spiritual principle of humility. So, ninth step is scary, but ninth step is beautiful. It says, one of my favorite lines in the literature about this says, a lot of courage and faith goes into making an amend, and a lot of spiritual growth results.
That part.
Yeah. And that is the truth. So I highly recommend working your ninth step after you have worked the previous eight. Do not do what I try to do and try to make everything wonderful at 3 weeks or a month clean and think that the world's going to just accept it. Because we don't even know half the time the feelings that we would need to empathize for, to look at the harm. Again, why steps are in order. So that's what we had for today. Next week, we're going to be going into step 10. And hopefully everybody got something out of that. There was a lot of information within that. There's a lot to unpack within the ninth step. It's funny because it seems so basic. It's just like, okay, cool. Make a direct amends. Cool. But there's so much to it that really requires, I want to make sure to discuss so you know people have a good understanding of it. So that's what we got for this week for R&D. Now it is time for my favorite moment of the week. Sorry, I had to get a little drink there. All right, so this is the part of the segment where we discuss something from this past week that I liked. Simple as that. As we talked about before, this show has a lot of experience, strength, and hope on it with some opinion. This is the opinion section. This is my opinion on things. Again, I'm not speaking from a perspective of any kind of authority. This is just my personal thing. So this is where we discuss something that's happened in life, pop culture, sports, whatever. Maybe just something I liked off Instagram and, you know, what my favorite moment was. So before we go into this week, I have to do an update and a clarification from last week's episode. I admit completely I misspoke and mispronounced the angry reaction dude's name. It's actually Wunya Johnson, which is a way cooler name. So I don't know why I wouldn't have thought to that. Why I didn't default to the super cool name, don't understand that. And I also have to give a shout out to one of our listeners for giving some insight into the world of TikTok and saying that, you know, my statement last week was, I don't like TikTok, all these stupid dances, whatever. And he said, and this was powerful, he said that that's like saying you don't like Instagram because of the Kardashians. And I was like, oh, because it's true. I was focusing my negative perspective on an entire thing based on my incorrect view of it. So I'm not saying I'm starting a TikTok. I'm not saying I'm putting videos on TikTok. But I'm also not saying I'm also not saying that I never will. But I did say last week that I would have to put a video on Pornhub before I put something on TikTok. So maybe Pornhub is going to be what blows this podcast up. Maybe I'm just going to start uploading videos there. I don't know. Yeah. So shout out to him for clarifying that. I can admit when I'm wrong and still not admitting I'm wrong enough to actually go and subscribe and create an account. But shout out to the people out there who still send me all them TikTok fire. Yeah, appreciate it. All right. Also, it's just a running thing every week. Shout out to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Episode was incredible. The Wakanda connection. Oh, my God. And the last scene with Captain America's shield, bro. Fire. That's all we're going to talk about that. Got to give a shout out to Hideki Matsuyama for being the first Japanese golfer in history to win a major. As I said, I like golf. I like watching golf, at least the majors. I like playing golf. I'm not very good. Shout out to Mark. You will beat me whenever we go ahead and play. I was good. I had to have back surgery. I'm not good anymore. That's how it is. Have to give a rest in peace to DMX. He actually passed away this last week. We discussed it a little bit last week in terms of, you know, the ramifications of his overdose. But one thing that I have, you know, obviously that's not in my favorite moments of the week, but one of the favorite things of the week was seeing all of the different stories that have come out. You know, a lot of times when somebody passes, all of their, you know, their positive stories come to light. And again, you know, I'm not saying that everything was great about him. I'm not saying that he didn't do some foul things, but at the end of the day, he was an addict, and I've got love for every single addict in this world. And like little stories that came out about like him, you know, growing orchids was pretty cool. You know, I got to see him in concert. It was still one of the best concerts I've ever seen. I saw him when he was like well past his prime and he still absolutely destroyed it. So shout out to him. And also like the classic 1999 Woodstock performance. That was one of the greatest concert performances, period. Also have to give a shout out to one of my favorite streamers, OMG mobile gamer, Trevor. Shout out for getting engaged. He's actually the one who has this sound effect. And I will say your engagement is not
garbage. Absolute trash.
definitely not garbage or trash. So shout out you to Breast. Love that dude. Also, fellow, you know, brother in recovery. So, but we're going to get to my actual favorite moment of the week. And I will admit, this is my favorite. This is my favorite moment of the week. And some weeks there aren't, you know, major news stories, at least not positive ones. As I've said before, if I was doing my least favorite moment of the week, I would have a laundry list from just this last moment or just this last week. But we don't do that here. We want to stay positive. We want to keep it good. We want to keep everything happy. So my favorite moment of the week was my best friend getting 3 years clean. And there's this part of me who really just wanted to spend this entire segment just telling you why my best friend is better than your best friend. Fight me on it. Let's go.
That part.
But I was told not to do that. So I'm going to layer this a little bit more and tie it into the fellowship perspective from a whole. Because one of the greatest senses of joy, one of the greatest opportunities for joy that I have received in recovery is watching people that I love and care about grow and gain clean time. And not just gain clean time, but gain recovery, because clean time doesn't equal recovery. And sometimes recovery doesn't equal your clean time. Sometimes somebody might have way better recovery with almost no clean time than somebody who's got 30 years clean and almost no recovery. But watching that and being able to just have unconditional love and unconditional excitement for people is one of the greatest things I felt. Because so often in my past, especially towards the end of my active addiction, so every little thing, every friendship I had parameters on it. It had parameters on it in terms of, you know, okay, I'll do this for this person because I'm going to get this back in return. Or, you know, I'll talk to this person because of what they can do for me, or what they can get for me. And the feeling of unconditional love that we have in the rooms of recovery is the exact opposite of that. It's doing something for somebody just because we can, just because we want to help, just because we want to make them smile. You know, being able to go and spend money on somebody, being able to buy gifts for somebody, being able to just take the time in life to just make sure they know they were thought about. Something as simple as sending a person a congratulations on your clean time message, or throwing them a shout out on social media or whatever. That's that unconditional love that for me is unlike anything I felt before. You know, I'd felt love before, but often in life, so much love has parameters on it. So much friendship has parameters on it. Especially for me, especially towards the end. You know, the only people I was talking to were people that I could get something from. But in the program, it's just about that love of being able to do something for somebody, being able to help somebody, being altruistic. And that's something that I never really understood prior. You know, even when I would just try to make somebody happy in the past or try to make somebody laugh, there often were ulterior motives to it. There often was some hope that I could get something out of it, some need for something more. But we don't do that in recovery. Well, at least if people are being super spiritual, they're not doing that. And I'm not saying that that's an all across the board things. There are times, especially before I had more spiritual growth, that I still was looking at, you know, quid pro quo type of things, or thinking about things from a, what can I get out of this situation? But the longer that we have clean, and the longer that we're actively growing and actively working a program of recovery to work those spiritual principles into our lives, the more that the desire to do good becomes so much easier. The desire to do something just to make someone smile, to do something just to know, so that person knows they're appreciated. You know, the phone calls at midnight, right when they hit their clean time, the horrible singing of happy birthday. Shout out to you, Paige. Just saying. The congratulations, the cakes after the meetings, the going back before COVID, going out and getting a room full of addicts together, rolling 30 deep into Oregano's and just taking over the back patio. Those are the type of things that help us realize and be celebrated and realize like what we're doing is a miracle. Anytime an addict gets one day clean is a miracle. That's not the way we work. We work by using drugs. We work by killing ourselves day after day after day. So a single day is a miracle. 30 days, a miracle. 30 miracles. A year, 365 miracles. That's literally what it is. So being able to see somebody else's miracle is one of the greatest feelings I've ever felt. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am so much more excited about other people's clean time than I am about my own. Like, I get so much more hype, especially this last year, because this last year, for me getting 3 years, it was weird. It just was like, it didn't seem that exciting. But somebody else getting 3 years? Somebody else getting a year? That's the shit that I love. That's the shit that energy and that love and that excitement is one of the greatest things and one of the reasons that I love to be around the rooms. You know, I it all goes back to the first convention I went to, as we talked about, where the first time I was part of a clean time countdown and hearing 1,500 people cheering, you know, that was an exciting thing for you. That was like a spiritual awakening type of moment. And I've always had a huge just desire to see people pick up clean time. And when they do, being able to congratulate them and celebrate them and make sure that they know that they're special and know that they're doing something that is completely against the nature of being an addict and they're succeeding. And that's why, you know, some people are like, oh, I don't care about clean time. I think it is a very important thing. I think it's very important that we do celebrate people's achievements. Because if we're being celebrated, we feel levels of gratitude in a way. And as we talk about, a grateful addict doesn't use. So there's no other way that I could go into my favorite. There was nothing else that could be my favorite moment of the week. My best friend got 3 years, period. That's my favorite moment of the week. So that for me is, you know, it's just how it is. I love that element. I love that. I get so hype over that, of being able to care about somebody or something else enough to actually empathize or care or love unconditionally or whatever. Because so often in my past, I couldn't give a shit less about shit. But just for today, I'm able to care about other people. I'm able to empathize with other people. I'm able to celebrate other people, not for my own selfish gain, not for what I can get from this person or what this person has to offer or what they're going to give or whatever. No, just because as addicts in recovery, that's what we do for each other. So that was my favorite moment of the week. Shout out to, well, we'll get to those shout outs in a second, but you know, for me personally, there's no way, it doesn't matter what else could have happened this week. For me, that's my favorite moment of the week. And if you didn't vibe with it, I'm sorry, but I did. So segment was a little bit for me. So that's what we got. We'll be back next week with more of my favorite moment. And of course, if you have anything from news or funny Instagram videos you want to send over, I'm on Instagram. You can email me, Matthew@cleanandfilthypodcast.com. If you want to send me good TikToks, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not saying to do that. But I'm not saying to do that.
That part.
So that's what we have for this week. And now we are into our next segment.
It's time to Ask an Addict with your host, Matthew M.
That's right. We are in our Ask an Addict segment where we answer viewer and, you know, listener questions, because I'm an addict. So we're asking this addict. I'm the resident addict here. Again, I'm going to give my experience, strength, and hope, but a lot of my opinion. This is not being said from any perspective of this is the way in any specific fellowship. We're just talking about what has worked for me and answering things from my perspective on things. So again, I'm not saying the right perspective, but they're my perspective. So the first question that we had, and of course, before we go into that, if you have any questions that you would like to have answered, please send them over. We have an entire contact page on the website, www.cleanandfilthypodcast.com. Go to the contact page, send in your questions, name, all that. Might get answered on air. Or you can just check me out on any of the social medias and send questions over there. So we got a few questions for today. First question is, what is a sponsor and what do they do? Now, for people who are part of recovery, this is going to be a pretty, you know, obvious thing. Most people know what a sponsor does, but there are people who don't, or maybe who think that a sponsor is something that they're not. Maybe it's what's portrayed in movies or on, you know, TV has an incorrect perspective on what a sponsor is. So most simple terms of it is a sponsor is a member of whatever fellowship that is going to lead you through the 12 steps of that fellowship. A lot of fellowships, it's pretty expected that the sponsor has worked all 12 steps, but that is not a requirement. There are certain, you know, areas of maybe the country that there aren't a lot of members, and maybe somebody sponsors sooner than that. That's up to the sponsor and that area more than anything. It's not a set thing of like, oh, you have to have this to do this. But it's usually expected that the sponsor has a good understanding of the 12 steps and can lead you through it. Now, with that being said, a sponsor is not necessarily your friend. It's not that they're not your lawyer. They're not your therapist. They're not your banker. A sponsor at its most basic level is a person to take you through the steps. That is it. But there are different elements to that because some sponsors are more step sponsors, like I just described. And then there are other sponsors who are more day-to-day sponsors. You know, there are people who, you know, want to get you to meetings and take you to meetings and, you know, get you involved in recovery and get you involved in a home group. You know, there are those as well. And I found personally that a mixture of the two is great because as a sponsor, I'm all about working steps. But I also realize, especially for a lot of the people I've sponsored early in, you know, coming straight out of treatment, there's that need to get involved. There's that need from a day-to-day perspective. So I don't think there's one way that's a right way or a wrong way. You know, at the end of the day, a sponsor is somebody to guide you through the steps, to share with you their experience, strength, and hope as to what has worked for them. Be able to answer questions. Be able to give guidance. Be able to give, you know, those things that when we first come into the rooms are so confusing. And, you know, what does it mean when you say this term? And what do we keep coming back? And this and that. And like, well, what? So a sponsor is a guide. And like I said, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to become a friend. That doesn't mean that they're not going to become, you know, something more than that. Like something, you know, a true best friend, somebody but that isn't necessary. That isn't necessarily the case. You know, I've had sponsor relationships with my sponsees. Some of them I'm not friends with. We do the work. Cool. I've had others where we become really good friends, you know, where we're going to the gym and working out and all those things. So it's not a specific script as to what a sponsor does, more than a sponsor takes the person through the 12 steps and then hopefully traditions and then maybe concepts and then do it all over again. So that is what a sponsor does. Like I said, a sponsor doesn't do a lot of things. They don't, you know, give you legal advice, I guess, unless they're a lawyer. They're not bailing you out of jail, though they might. But I mean, those are things that aren't like sponsorship duties. A sponsor's duties at the most basic level is to take somebody through the steps and give insight as to how it worked for them. You know, that is the point of it. Some might, you know, some sponsor relationships might grow in a completely different ways. You might end up being best man at their wedding, or they might be best man at your wedding. Who knows? All those things are possible. Might end up godparent to your kid, maybe. Or maybe it's somebody that you work with to work through the steps, and then you're good. And I want to make sure to mention that, like, when somebody's looking for a sponsor, just because you get a sponsor doesn't mean you're locked into that sponsor. You know, I've always told sponsees that if you find somebody that works better than me, go with them. Because at the end of the day, all I want to do is to make sure that that person gets the best out of their recovery that they can. So just because you work through steps with one sponsor doesn't mean you do the same with the next one. I worked all 12 of my steps with one sponsor, and then I got a new sponsor, and now I'm working steps with that sponsor. That can be your story. You can have the same sponsor for 80 years of clean time. There's no set, you know, structure with that, other than sponsors there to help lead you through the steps. So that's our first question. Second question I got, and this is interesting. Says I've had some, you know, people inquiring, what equipment do I use to film this podcast? And, you know, I want to let people know that you could, if you have a message that you want to get out there and you think it would be an entertaining podcast, you can do it very easily. You know, at the end of the day, there's not a lot required to get into the podcasting, live streaming type of game, if you will. Mine took a little bit more just because I'm doing video as well, rather than just straight podcasting. So I use a GoPro Hero 8 camera, Black Edition with the media mount on it. That goes into an Elgato 4K capture card so that everything can go into my computer, which is an old i5 quad core, like DD3 RAM. Does have a nice graphics card. It's a 980 Ti. And then that loads everything up into OBS software, OBS Studios, and then that gets broadcast out onto YouTube. I have a backup camera, that one right there. That is a Logitech 920S, just a super simple USB camera. I've got my Rode Pod Mic, which I love personally. I've got my Rode PSA-1 boom arm. Just got this thing. I'm super happy. I just got my new purple cords as well. Love how it looks. If you're just listening right now and you're not watching, sorry, but come and watch the video. I've got my Elgato 4K, my Elgato Stream Deck. Love this thing. It's a lot of fun. I'm running through an old 20-year-old Alesis mixer that I had from back when I wanted to be a music producer. Still works. I've got a homemade light, hence why we're still trying to figure out lighting things. And I've got a homemade green screen behind me and just a random computer chair. That's it. Oh, and Bowers and Wilkins P7 headphones. And all those, a lot of those things aren't even necessary. You know, a lot of those things aren't even necessary. So it's not, you know, I thought it was going to be much more difficult to get started. And I thought there was going to be so much more required, but honestly, there's not, you know. And as my, you know, quality of product grows, and as the elements of this product, of this podcast grow, I will be able to put out a better product. But as it is right now, I mean, obviously my podcast isn't the greatest production value, or the stream isn't the greatest production value, but it's able to get the message out, which to me was the most important thing. Of course, I want things to look bright and shiny, but that's not the main goal of it. If those things happen as well, cool. And we'll get them there eventually. But right now, my biggest thing was having a clear ability to get a clear message out, which I think we're able to do here. So it's pretty cool. So that's what I use. I'm sure in the future we'll probably do an update as to the new things I use. But as of right now, that's what I use. And, you know, I've been able to put out a product pretty simply with only a couple of minor user error hiccups. So that's what we use. Next question I had is, why do I say just for today? And this is going to be something that this is a question from somebody who isn't in recovery and doesn't understand that concept. So this could sound a lot of times for somebody who doesn't understand what we're meaning. It can almost sound like I'm, you know, saying I'm going to relapse in the future. Or we were in regards to last week's statement about steroid use. And I said, just for today, I'm not, you know, using steroids. Well, that in itself, what that means is that I'm not looking anything past today. As an addict, we live in the today. We don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We live in the here and now. And that in itself, by living just for today, means I don't have to worry about the future. I don't have to say I'm never going to do something. Because for an addict like me, the term never, ooh, I don't like that. That makes me want to do it even more. Don't say I can never again. But to somebody who's not familiar with that term, I could see where it sounds like very noncommittal. Like, oh, so you're saying you'll never use, you're not going to say you'll never use drugs again? Like, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that just for today, I'm not using drugs. I don't have to worry about 10 years from now. I don't have to worry about 10 days from now. I worry about today. And when we live our recovery one day at a time, we don't get caught up in all of the potentials. and all of the worries about, or of all of the future tripping, which an addict like me loves to do, So I don't have to do that. If I'm living just for today, I don't have to worry about that aspect of it. And I might live that same just for today for the next 10 years. But it's a lot easier for me to do that than to say, I'm definitely not going to use drugs for the next 10 years. Saying that, I can't say that. That's terrifying to me. But I can say, just for today, I'm not going to use drugs. And then tomorrow, I'll say, just for today, I'm not going to use drugs. And maybe that'll turn into 10 years. I don't know. But I know for me personally, I have a much better possibility of success if I'm living just for today than if I'm saying never. So that's what that term actually means. That's what you'll hear a lot in recovery is just for today. Because I'm living just for today. I'm living my recovery just for today. Tomorrow, it all starts again. And what I do today doesn't help tomorrow. I got to do it again tomorrow. Because it is a just for today program. And that doesn't mean that we can't plan things. That doesn't mean that we can't have, you know, hopes or plan trips or whatever, because that's not what it means. It just means that when it comes to my recovery, I live it just for today. I could plan a trip in 6 months, but as long as I'm doing my recovery each day just for today in that 6 months, then there's a good likelihood I'll get to that trip and be clean and actually be able to go on the trip and not spend all the money on dope. So that is what that term means. I just want to make sure that's clear, because I know, you know, some people that have heard that have said, well, that seems like you're, you know, giving yourself an opportunity, or you're saying you're going to use, or saying you're going to do this or that. And that's not the case. You know, it's a way to live in the moment, to not be focused on the past, to not be focused on the future, and just live in the here and now. So that's what that term means. And hopefully that gives some clarity. And if anybody out there has more questions that they would like to be answered, again, they don't have to be recovery related. They can be on anything. I like answering questions. So send your questions on over and we will add them to the list to answer them on air. So thank you guys for the questions and we'll have more next week. So before we close, we got to get to them clean time shout outs. That's right. This is the time of the show where we go through and acknowledge anybody who's celebrating a recognized, universally recognized milestone within recovery. So those are, you know, anybody up to 29 days, which is a newcomer, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 18 months, and multiple years clean. We also like to acknowledge other fun numbers. So if you're getting 100 days, 500 days, 1,000 days, 10,000 days, let us know. Because, you know, once you get up to them higher numbers, you don't have as many options coming around to celebrate. And as I said, I love celebrating people's clean time. So this is where we do that. So if you have a clean time milestone coming up, make sure to send a message over to myself, Matthew, at cleanandfilthypodcast.com or on any social media with your name and how much time you are celebrating between now, you know, and next Tuesday. And we will add you for a clean time shout out. So first up, as a newcomer, we've got Justin. Welcome. And next up, as a newcomer, we got Sophie. Good job. Stick around. Then with 90 days, we've got my sponsee brother, Todd. Well done, man. And the next with 9 months, we've got Aisha. Almost to that year. Keep going. And then with 3 years clean, we've got Rochelle. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, Rochelle. Well done. Well done. And then finally, with 16 years clean, we've got Britt. Boop, 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 boop. There we go. Well done, everybody. In case you weren't familiar, we do them boops for each year. So, you know, well done, everybody, picking up time today. If you didn't celebrate any clean time today, don't use, and guess what? You will. That's literally how this works. This is truly how this program works. So shout out to everybody. I love each and every one of you. We are officially at the end of our time. But a big shout out again to our VIP supporters. Big shout out to our episode sponsor, Etc. by Emily. Big shout out goes out to, again, Valentino Khan, Alice in Wonderland, Mad Decent Records for letting us use this amazing song. And check out all of their information down in the downloads below. Please get out there, like, comment, subscribe, share, download, follow, tweet, retweet, all that to help us grow. And remember, I love each and every one of you. Even if I don't know you, I love you. Thank you for being a part of my recovery. See you guys next week.